There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of No Small Roles, a D&D podcast where there are no small roles and some bard-on-bard action.
Way!
Looks like he plucked my G-string.
Daryl's currently got his headphones off because he doesn't know what happens last session, so he's like letting it be a surprise. We're very excited.
Yeah, I'm David Knight, your dungeon master. I'm joined by this party of partygoers, so say hi everyone.
Hello.
Way. Oh, my head.
The pub is empty.
Who is it that wants to fill Daryl in on what happened last time?
Me.
Let's cue the theme tune.
Prepare your party of players and polyhedral dice. Your tragic backstory better be worth the sacrifice. Seize your sheets and D20.
Let's play D&D.
Your haggard character swaggers with daggers in each hand. You've all discussed what you must, but even best laid plans. Take a turn when checks are missed.
Roll initiative. Brandish your blades. Don't fail your saves. No risk too great, no choice too bold. This is your story. No guts, no glory. Confront your fate with every roll. Every
inside, one who will pay the price. Their chance of success all rests upon the dice. No risk too great, no choice too bold.
This is No Small Roles.
So, with Kissing Beck in full festival flow for the end of the Twaintide Tea Tournament, you chatted with Eustace Hograthian, a bard who hoped that you could help him get his job back. Being a simple storyteller, he'd been bumped from the billing of the White Bison Theatre in favour of a flashier troupe, Duck Duck Bard. Whilst Gwendolyn, Juna and Gaius offered their help to put on a show consisting of the Abraca Lads and the winning team, the Shattered Runes, Enkidu dipped out to speak with local hunter types and prepare for travel the following day. Gwendolyn approached the Shattered Runes with a jug of strawberry daiquiris, but on being announced as Carhilda, the Orcosian members of the team reacted coldly, with one even leaving the stage. When confronted, the woman rounded on Gwendolyn, demanding she stay away and calling her an omen of danger, death, and disaster. Whilst Gwendolyn ran to the edge of town in distress, Juna read the woman's thoughts and saw a mixture of childhood games, songs, stories, and beliefs about the myth of Carhilda, a warrior-like figure being overcome by a calamity. Juna and Gaius found Gwendolyn, and all three returned to the Swan Inn to rest and process this new information. Eustace soon arrived to cheer them up and learn what had actually happened, and the group decided to drink, dance, and sing the rest of the night away. You all return to your room on a happier note, with the two bards wandering away together to make some music in the night.
That's where we pick it up.
You can put your headphones back on, Daryl.
Is it safe now?
It's safe.
As it's going to be.
Well.
It's not secret for long, though.
No.
So, whilst Gaius and Eustace continue their night, Gwendolyn and Juna head back into the Swan Inn, where I assume they find Enkidu up and waiting for them. How has Enkidu's day been?
Oh, Enkidu's day was pretty chill. It's pretty nice. Met some interesting people, got some valuable information, was ready to tell everyone, but no one was there, so he thought he'd sit down, pour over what he'd learned, and stay in one spot in case anything happened.
Nice. So it's probably, again, Enkidu doesn't need to sleep, but whether or not you've chosen to at this time, it probably is like 3 o'clock, coming on to 4 o'clock in the morning, when you hear some noise clambering up the stairs.
Oh no, be careful,
don't
Gwen!
Wake anybody that's sleeping.
You hear like Juna sort of misses the lock a little bit and sort of like a bash bash as they're trying to get back into the room. And then the door sort of flies open.
Oh my gosh.
Oh! It's Enkidu, there. You didn't come dancing.
Dancing? I didn't know there was an invitation.
Yeah, we put it in the note. Yes, come join us drinking, dancing. That's where we were going.
Oh, right. But then what was the other urgent, important thing?
This stuff.
Yeah, there's quite a lot to fill you in on, Enkidu. You might want to sit down.
I'm going to sleep.
I think that's a very good idea.
Gwendolyn falls face first onto the bed and immediately starts snoring.
Enkidu will put the covers over Gwendolyn YC.
Aww.
That's good.
So nice.
Where he like turns a quizzical eye towards Miss Septon.
And also Ruana was waiting with the note, so she's been keeping you company.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, and she's currently still a dog.
Oh. No.
So, it's been a big day for Gwen, which explains this.
Juna's remarkably less drunk than Gwen, but has had a few.
Noted.
You might be wondering where Guy is.
I'm not really, but, you know, explains a lot.
He's doing a little... And she does like a nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
Yeah, I thought as much.
So, do you have a good day? Do you have a good day?
Yes, sorry. Yeah. Apologies for disappearing. I thought I saw some familiar looking folks. No one I knew, just a bit anxious and starting to feel this kind of inexorable pull. So I thought I'd get something, you know, just distract myself a bit, get some useful information.
Oh, did you get some useful information?
I did. I know Gil had a mission through the woods some years back. And the woods can be a bit tricksy to navigate. So I saw some hunter-gatherer types, asked me a few questions, and they, you know, drew me a handy little map, gave me some notes. Yeah, I've had a productive day.
Well, we met the Shattered Runes, the winning team of the Twain Tide Tea tournament.
Yes.
And there was a sequence of events. So Gwen took them a jug of strawberry daiquiris, naturally. And when she was announced as Carhilder,
what?
One of them ran away.
Oh, no.
Spat on the floor and ran away. And Gwen went after her. And it turns out Carhilder in Orcosian culture is a symbol of disaster. And so I read her mind a little bit. She didn't really want to talk about it, but she just was washing and trying to say, get away from me, to Gwen. And it turns out Carhilder, there are songs about Carhilder and nursery rhyme games, with Carhilder being this figure of a fearless warrior that... brings an omen of disaster and a sort of an omen of fate, and that Carhilder will be overcome and is this warrior, but it's dangerous, all very confusing, especially after a few dacks, if you know what I mean. But Gwen's had quite the day. And that explains all of this. And she sort of ta-das towards Gwen and the fact that she's gone out to forget her troubles.
Oh, no. I have a ton of questions. None of them are going to be helpful trying to puzzle them out right now. But the is Deli Gwendolyn, that, is she all right?
Yeah, we don't know what to call her currently. No. She's very much not all right. As you can see, between the snores. I mean, if you have any questions, ask them now. You might not be able to answer them, but she's not massively up for talking about it.
I won't ask her any questions.
Sure?
She won't probably may not know the answers, but
no. But you want to ask me?
Okay, maybe you can help me with this one then.
Yeah.
Well, her father, from what she told me, knew what Cahilda meant. Why didn't he tell her at the time? When she confronted him.
I don't think he does know what it means.
But he just knew not to use it in front of occasions.
Yeah.
Well, that's my main question. The others, I think we're going to have to investigate when we get the chance.
I already have a bit of a plan, Enkidu.
Oh.
Shall I run it past you?
Yes, please, Miss Septhorne.
It's not very likely to succeed, but I can try and scry on her mum, who does know what this means, and we can at least see where she is, who she is, and where she's coming from.
Is that possible? Have you met her mother?
No, but I know of her, so it is possible. It's unlikely, but I'm willing to give it a try on Gwen's behalf.
Well, what else are we going to try? Why not?
I mean, I need to sleep some of this off before I can attempt it.
Oh my god.
Just like a drunken voicemail. Hi. Hi. You're my friend's mum.
So yes, I also think I've offered Gwen to cast a divination with flowers to ask a bit more about the subject, and if needs be, I'll ask her dad if he knows any more, but I honestly don't think he does. I've known him for quite a long time, and unless he's covering things up very well, I don't actually think he knows much about that side of things.
Understood.
Yeah, but I think this is big for her.
Mm.
We've had a chat about light and dark. I think she feels like she's taken us all into danger, and Guy and I did our best to explain. We're already in danger, so...
I agree.
We've crossed that bridge. But yeah, I think we might need to just sort of get her through this in the way that she needs.
Yeah, yeah.
And Guy and Eustace have gone off together, and that's about it.
Oh, that's great. Hope he's having a good time.
I'm sure he is.
Cut two. No, we are not cutting two. Come back.
Are you cutting too?
No, we're not. No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Yeah.
The camera pan. No.
And, Chris, do you want to be cut too?
Oh dear. No, I'm good. Some things are best left to the imagination, I think.
Oh dear.
A train going through a tunnel.
And now we have a montage with some like amazing like guy like song over it.
Yeah. Night lights and shenanigans.
Yeah.
There was a lover and his lad with a hey ho, a hey nonny no.
Oh my gosh. So Miss Septhorne, you need to sleep off today's activities before you can attempt and scrying on Daddy's mother.
Yeah, my magic, I can only really reach that level of magic once in a day anyway, and I scryed on Heron this morning.
Oh, yes.
Feels like a long time ago, but it was this morning. Spell chronology.
Right, I understood. Yeah.
Yeah. I might do a quick send in to Ginger, though. She won't mind.
Okay.
See if she knows anything about it. I don't think she does. It'd be good to find out where she is.
True.
Please put in the wrong number.
A completely different Ginger. Yeah.
I feel like before I have a long rest, I might as well use up that magic.
Use up them spell slots. Yeah.
Way spells.
Oh my gosh.
Do you want a spelling, Kidu, before bed?
Oh.
I could do you a tattoo, and you can just cast a spell.
You can cast the spell.
I feel like for a warlock, that's like the magic.
Oh, like, I'm like, oh, he does the evil turn, like.
Yeah.
I mean, do you want one? Might as well, right?
Yeah. Can I get a scry spell?
No, you cannot.
Okay. Good night.
What can he have?
You can have a scrying spell, but I can only cast it once a day and I want it.
Oh, okay.
Also, I need two spell slots and I only have one.
Okay.
So, yeah, you can have anything other than that.
Basically. Sorry, we're all out of scry.
We're out of scry. Well, a while back, I messaged someone using Orin's book.
Do you want a sending?
Ooh.
Can I get a sending?
Yeah. I won't be able to contact Ginger, but you can have one for tomorrow.
And Keely looks very nervous. I'd appreciate that. My fear is either they didn't know how to respond or they might not be alive. But I'd appreciate a sending.
Can I do that, David?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That's how it works.
I feel like now Juna gets drunk. She's like, let me tattoo a spell on you.
It's all right, guys. I'm fighting off the rule Nazis with a sword. Keep at it. Come on. I'll hold them off.
Actually, also, I just think this spell's really fun, David, that you allowed us to do this.
It is.
So I've got to cast Ceremony at third level for a third level spell, am I right?
Yeah, ooh, exactly that.
I have two third level spell slots left, so I will, and then when I wake up tomorrow, I will already have one gone, won't I?
So,
there'll be one that's shared, but like whoever uses it first.
Yeah, if Enkidu then casts it at that point, that's when your spell slot is used up.
Great. Oh, then I can do Ginger tonight as well.
Yeah.
Lovely.
If I cast it whilst Juna is asleep, we should get all the spell slots back in the morning.
Ooh, it depends how quickly Juna falls asleep. and also whether or not she has the energy for it. So if she, for instance, how many spell slots? Spell slot admin, everybody. So Juna's got
two left. If I do ascending with Ginger tonight, he won't be able to do it till the morning.
Exactly.
Okay, that's fine.
But if Juna had the other spell slot, I would have allowed it. But she doesn't.
No. Also, I feel like that would be cheating. I feel like it's such a you've really allowed the like homebrew of this spell. I don't want to cheat.
No, you're not cheating. It's a fun story.
What do you want your tattoo to be?
I would love it to be an envelope sealed with a heart with wings.
Oh,
that is beautiful. She gets out the tattoo kit and her hand's a bit shaky because she's a bit like had a bit to drink.
Oh no!
But then she gathers herself at the last minute. So she does. Where do you want it? Sorry.
I love it on my arm. I pulls up, holds out his right arm.
So yeah, she just, yeah, tattoos, the envelope. Oh, do you want different colours? Actually, no, I don't have different colours.
It's fine. Whatever colour you
have. You've only got it till you cast it.
Exactly.
Anyway. Envelope, little heart, little wings on the heart. And then it sort of just, yeah, like sort of iridesces. Is that a word?
Sure.
It is now.
This is a fancy podcast. You go for it.
And then yeah, you have the ability to cast sending.
Thank you, Miss Evon.
All I would say is let me know when you're planning on using it, because I won't be able to use that particular part of magic if you do.
Oh, got it. Understood.
You don't have to tell me what you're sending, but I'd like to know when you are.
Sure.
Oh, David, I love this version of Ceremony. It's so fun.
So yeah, it takes a while, doesn't it, to tattoo on. Gaius, are you out all night, or do you come back at some point?
I'll come back at some point. I mean, we've been on a tricky trail our lot, and I feel like it would be, even in his heightened state, then he would still feel like, hey, I'm in a distant town, like, you know, stuff still could go down. So I will eventually say goodnight. Kiss goodnight, decide actually, and go one more time, and then kiss goodnight, and then go back to the gang.
Nice.
And I'll fumble at the door, and then eventually make my way in. I suppose I'll try and sneak in. I'll stealth in.
Yeah, you leave Eustace in a state of pure joy and bliss as he kind of stumbles drunkenly down the street.
Yeah.
But yeah, Gaius falls into the room.
Ah. Oh.
I like to think it's just as the tattoo's being finished.
Okay, is this where the evening's going now? Because I like it.
She want one?
Oh, wait. Wait. Where's Gwen?
She's over there asleep.
They point to her, yeah.
Oh.
We're just letting her sleep it off.
Is she okay?
She's just really drunk.
Okay. I guess tomorrow we'll bring what it will bring, I suppose. But, like, did she seem okay, or did she just go bang and hit the floor?
That's exactly what she did, bang and hit the floor.
Okay. Okay.
Oh. What about you? Did you go bang and hit the floor?
Something went bang. Yeah. My gosh. You know what? Like, it's like my third time with a dwarf, and I forgot how fictitious they can be. You know, it's like, I am like red raw everywhere.
Oh my gosh.
It's crazy, you know?
What?
Like, I hope they have some, like, version of Pseudocrem in this, like, Dravanian society, because,
oh, I could make you a salve.
Oh, that would be great. A bath of salve would be fantastic.
I'll make you a lavender salve. I've got plenty.
Oh, yeah, that's what I want. But, yeah, anyway, Kiyo, did you have a good night? Looks like you had a good night.
Yeah. I less eventful night than all of you, but yeah, I'm hale and healthy.
Nice. Okay. Well, look. Wow. Look at that. That's a beautiful tattoo, Juno. You're getting really good at that.
Oh, thank. I nearly went. Thank you. Thank you.
And then Guy will like try and do his best impression of Juno. You're welcome. Gosh. And then we'll go, okay, and on that note, I'm gonna hit the hay. And he will like go like and slam into the pillow right next to Gwen. Just and crash out.
Nice.
Juno's exhausted but is gonna do quick sending before bed to Ginger. It's gonna be quite short, saying, how are you? Miss you. Where are you? Have you heard of Kahilda? And do you know anything about what it means? Love you.
It's interesting, even at this late point in the evening.
Oh, shit.
She's still on the move.
She's like, yeah, Forrest Gump. Yeah.
She is still on the move. You can kind of almost like sense that she's not walking herself, that she's...
Oh, she's on a bison, isn't she?
She's on the back of
a
bison at the moment.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. She's like, oh, you're sweet. Don't know much about Kahilda. Miss you too, not too far away now. Give me another week or so. So, buy some nice tea. Love you too. Oh.
Does she know where we are right now?
I think so.
She does, yeah. I messaged her to say we're in Kissing Bay.
Oh, cool.
That's when we found out she was on bison. Mm. So that was probably like...
This morning
or something.
I think it was a couple of days ago, wasn't it? Because it was when you first arrived.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Because how long has she been traveling?
Oh, yeah,
for
we were
now?
Asleep, weren't we?
Yeah.
3 weeks she's been on the road for.
Has she? Has it been that long?
Because she said it would be from when we first met Kiyuna, she said, I'll be there in about a month.
So, yeah, it was when we first met Kiyeda was when she started getting panicked.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, cool.
And since then, she has started hitching with a bison. So she's traveling slightly faster. So after that, you all kind of settle down, have a rest, a long rest. What time do you all wake up? Like, are you like rising early to like get on the road and go, or are you going to take a nice slow morning to recover from a hangover? How's it looking as the sun rises?
Grace?
Well, technically, is long rest 8 hours?
Mm. Technically, yeah.
So...
Shall we roll for it with our constitution?
What's 4 plus 8?
Do you know what? I will,
12,
yeah.
Midday.
Yeah, well, I'll kind of allow, if there's no like strenuous activity happening over the course of the morning, for instance, if you're just like getting on horses and going, like, then it's, I'll let it count. But it's more if you're going to get up and go and start fighting things and all the rest. Mm. Yeah, you probably need a little longer to recover.
I think Gwendolyn is like, she is sleeping it off. She's dead to the world. Mm. And she's only really going to start stirring if other people start encouraging her to move.
Juno would quite like to have found somewhere to buy 100 gold's worth of flowers from before Gwen gets up, if possible.
100 gold.
That's the going rate for a divination, isn't it?
That's like 3 fields worth of flowers, is it?
Bloody hell, I know, right?
What was it, 50 before? Or 30 last time?
I think it's maybe, yeah, 15 maybe. No, 20, it's 25, isn't it?
I'll double check.
You're welcome to buy 100 gold's worth of flowers.
I'll take the lot. Well, there is a lot.
So pricey.
Let me check.
Enkidu would have gotten up with Juna.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to come with me, Enkidu, to go and buy some flowers?
Oh, we had breakfast included as well.
I'll take my breakfast, but keep it for Gwendolyn. She'll probably want to have an appetite when she gets up.
Nice. They've kind of got that little like continental buffet style thing going on downstairs where you just go and serve yourself and sit at a table.
And Kitty takes a pastry, a fresh one.
You are right, David. It's 25 gold.
Hey, there you go.
Spend that
stock
money.
Stocking up for the future, yeah. Whilst there are a lot less like flowers around the town as such, there are quite a few like herbal type shops that are selling a whole load of like different like flower cuttings, and some of them are like dried and stuff, but like you're quite happy that they'll work just in a like not much less of a like bouquet kind of a way.
Nice. More of a wreath.
More, yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, I get that.
Much more fragrant at the very least. But yeah, you can buy 25 gold's worth of stuff.
Thank you.
That's what.
And Key, do you want to help me carry all this back?
I think I'm going to have to. It's
still important. Quite a lot of flowers.
he'll carry some in his arm. The mage hand will carry a bunch.
Oh, nice. Ruan is going to have some on her back as well in little like homemade panniers.
On the way back, Miss Epthorn, do you? I'm all right to cast sending whilst we walk back.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'll think of I don't know how sending works.
It says twin. Let me look up Spellman again. 25 words.
25 words. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go.
If the target is on a different plane, I don't know if they are, there's a 5% chance that the message doesn't arrive.
Goodness sake.
Which is, I love that quirk to sending.
I don't think they're on a different plane. I just hope they're alive. So Enkidu will message Scarpus.
Because
he didn't get a response. We try and keep it sweet. Scarpus didn't hear a reply. Apologies, I left no instructions how. Just let me know you're well. If any children in your care are well. Is that it?
Yeah.
Done. Think about
you
often.
You just went over. I
went over?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, fine.
It's hard.
It's hard. 25.
And Enkidu has never cast a spell, so it's in character that he...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that he's run out of words.
If he did too well in this, he'd be like, oh, yeah.
As he's sending it, June is going to just hold his hand.
As you kind of send out this message in hopeful tones, there is an instant relief when you sense her presence and like that connection securely. Though she is quite confused. And you just hear it. Hello? Kai, is that you? I can't quite see. My eyes aren't what they used to be. You be staying long? The children could use it. That's all you hear.
Oh,
she maxes out the word count.
That's
so
really sweet.
That's so sweet. My heart.
So sweet.
Will you be staying long? As if I visited her head.
But even in that little thing, there is the relief and the comfort to know that she seems to be carrying on whatever it is that, you know, looking after those kids that she was doing before.
Okay.
Is she the woman who raised you, Enkidu, just to remind me?
Not quite, but she used to tell stories to orphan kids, and Kidu some of the gang will just hang out there. Sometimes help out. She'd feed them, make clothes for them. Just a nice lady in the town who looked after orphans who just left forgotten.
And you've told us one of her stories as well, haven't you?
I did, yeah. Which is how Enkidu and Gilgamesh named themselves. It was from a story that she told them.
Like a nice Fagin.
Yeah. like a nice Fagin.
Nice Fagin.
Oh, thank you, Miss Setthorn. I really, really needed that.
Did you get what you needed?
I did.
Good. Good. And then the tattoo iridesces again and vanishes.
Wow, magic.
If you want a permanent one, I can give you a permanent one.
Oh, would it do the same thing?
No, it won't do the spell, but if you just like the design, I can redo it.
Well, I'll certainly consider it. We continue walking.
As you're nearing your way back to the Swan Inn, you do... You do notice Eustace on his approach to the... He doesn't look like he's rested all that well. He still looks a little bit tipsy, but he's kind of like walking And again, is holding like a bunch of flowers.
Oh.
Which, in a similar way to the last time he turned up with flowers, you can kind of tell he's just kind of swiped them from somewhere. They're not particularly well presented. This is a nice little bouquet of like white and yellow flowers. I was trying to pull a flower out of my head then.
Don't let him have any of these flowers, Enkidu. These are not for him.
Oh, right. Noted.
Morning.
Morning, fella.
Oh, morning. And, you look like you had a good night last night.
I had a good night last night, eh? I was just hoping the young masked man were upstairs.
Kida looks at Juno.
Juno just sort of looks back. I'm sure he is. Do you want me to
Should I come up with you? Or do you want to come? Or should I go up? Or should I wait for him?
You stay here, and okay. I'll tell him that you're here.
Right, yeah. Oh, yeah, okay.
Aww.
Oh. I'll see you.
So, yeah, we go up.
Akili would just give him a little pat on the shoulder as he walks inside.
Thank you.
So, are they going into the tavern?
The two of us.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's outside of the tavern.
Aye.
Yeah.
Right, I'm just clocking it, just because, like, Guy will be downstairs, like, eating, like, a pile of pancakes. Like, yeah. Just, like, trying to, like, fill his stomach, because he's not feeling fantastic, but he's, like, he's up.
Well, as we pass you, Juno will be like, Eustace is outside with a bunch of flowers.
Oh, okay. What do I do?
You do what you like.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What do you want?
I mean, I want to finish my pancakes first.
Finish your pancakes.
Oh, he's way outside, though.
Yeah, he is outside with flowers for you, I assume.
All right, well, I'll be rude, like, to just, like, leave him hanging there. And he'll just, like, take a big gulp. He'll go towards the door.
Yeah, before he goes, Gilly will press the digitate guy, so he looks it glistens a little bit more. It looks a bit more cleaner, more fresh and fresher faced.
What a wingman.
I was trying to burp on command there.
There you go.
Now I'm ready. Thank you, Mickey.
Good luck, editor.
I can't. No, guys, that burp was too glorious. I could not lay claim to that. No, that was all Vicky Gaskin. Gaskin for the win.
Oh, my gosh.
Her namesake.
Thank you, Papa G, for teaching me that when I was a kid.
Yeah, and I will go outside and receive my flowers.
Aww.
Nice. As you sort of approach, he sort of looks up and goes, "Hey, morning.
Hello. How are you?
I mean, I won't be riding a horse anytime soon, but I had a great time.
Well, you know what? Speaking of which, last night was fantastic.
Hashtag bird on bird.
My gosh. Yeah, you know what? Like, you know what? I didn't realize I needed that until it happened. And then the second time, that was awesome too. Listen, are these for me? My friend just told me you were out here.
Yeah, right. See, I thought I'm leaving today, so I thought it'd be nice to, you know, give you some flowers as a little parting gift there.
Aw. And I would, like, trace his face with my fingers. And, you know, ruffle his, like, beard and scrunch it underneath and just go, you know what, last night was really special. And from one bad to another, we know that, well, for me anyway, last night is going to be inspiration for a number of ballads and songs. And I'm going to be thinking about it for a long time to come. So thank you. From one storyteller to another. That was legendary.
Kind of blushes a little bit.
I'll grab his beard and give him a kiss.
Yeah, he kind of bites your lip a little bit, grabs your bum, and goes, right, okay, well, I'm going to leave before... okay, right, take that in it. Right, thank you very much. Much appreciated. I will also be thinking of you quite a lot. If you ever wanted to, make another story anytime, just drop me a little message, and then we'll see what we can do, okay?
Oh, Eustace, absolutely, absolutely. And if we're in the same town again, let's meet up. You can come and join the gang, because you know all of them now. You know all, well, you know most of them. I got a friend, Oren, who I could tell you all about, but right now he's off doing his own story. And,
yeah, there's more of the gang to me. So, you know what? This is not the last time you've seen us. And I hope it's not the last time I see you. And I'll give him a wink.
Well, no, hopefully not. I'd love to see another one of your performances.
Oh, yeah.
All right, well, leans in, grabs another kiss.
Oh, shucks.
And that's that then. Right. Gotta catch a boat. Right. Bye. See you then. All right.
Bye. And Guy was just so tempted to go, like, and if you have some friends, maybe we can make a melody. But anyway.
Message it.
With that thought in mind, he will just open through the door and go back to his pancakes with us, bringing his step.
Oh, that was so cute.
All went well then.
What do you think of these? And I'll get out some. I'll show these flowers. Immediately look at.
Juno wants to insight check the flowers. I'm worried he's put whatever
these
the in-world equivalent.
You are not doing this to my flowers.
No, I want to check that he hasn't put like an in-world version of like a microphone in it.
Oh.
That they're not like listening flowers so that he can like find out what the stories are.
I just saw you like staring at my flowers as you do with that whole destiny stare you have. Okay, yeah, check the flowers, please.
Yeah, I just want to check that they're,
Yeah, you can make a investigation, I suppose.
Okay. Natural one.
You know what? There is something off about these flowers. There's one that you think, oh, maybe that's a seven. No, it's an eight-petaled flower, but it's very similar. And it's very suspicious. Very suspicious. One of the stems feels a bit too solid.
June is like, I don't like those flowers. I don't think you should keep them. She gets a bit weird about it.
Well, look, why don't we just keep them for the room? They'll look nice in the room, and then we'll just leave them in there.
Sure. Just separate them from the rest we've got.
Juno ruins flowers for Guy.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Wow. Of everyone for that to come out from. Jeez.
That being said, with the bunch of flowers we're carrying between Rwanda, myself, and a floating mage hand, yeah.
I know.
Just had to ruin yours.
Flowers is her thing. No one else can have that. Fine. I accept it. Let's go and check up on Gwenny.
Yeah, sure.
So yeah, we all head up. With some pancakes? I feel like we should take some pancakes.
Oh yeah, we're taking pancakes.
And Kidu puts one in his mouth and carries a cup of coffee for himself.
Yeah, I think let's take a bit of a bits. Bits for the room.
Oh, some croissants, wrap them in some napkins, all that jazz.
Yeah. Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, we'll take all this up if you don't mind.
We'll get some tea. We'll get some like water, lots and lots of water for Gwen.
Yeah.
Maybe some toast.
I have a science question for Orin when we see him again.
I have a lot of questions for that guy.
Do you, in this world of medieval yet advanced science, do we know what a vacuum is?
No.
As in like a Hoover or like a vacuum in, like, with the absence of air?
Absence of air.
I would say that it isn't common knowledge, but those who have studied the arcane arts probably, have an awareness of just air pressures and vacuums and things, or the more engineering types. So yeah, Orin would definitely know what a vacuum is. The rest of you, questionable.
Oh no, it's not even important, but I really want to know.
Why do you want to know? I'm so intrigued.
Are you trying to vacuum seal some croissants?
Yes.
Wow. That was not where I thought that was going, guys.
I was like, I left a croissant in a bag previously and it died in 2 weeks. So, if it's vacuum sealed in an interdimensional space, it's fresh for when I want it.
I thought, okay, here we go. Daryl's about to world break the like the story, and then it was just like, no, just to keep some croissants from not being too crisp. Excellent.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, this man has been living on the road.
We haven't invented fridge freezers yet, so I don't know if we have, but
well, they have
they've invented ice in
cold.
The Woden Isle, so
they did invent cold ice. So
they invented ice.
Cold box. Yeah.
Invented ice. Honestly.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, we arrive up in the room with mm-hmm. all sorts of hangover preventing food and drink for Gwen.
Like as you come in, you can't really see Gwen because she's like just all wrapped up in the covers. And she's just like kind of burritoed herself.
No.
How are you doing?
Just resting.
I think June is going to like perch on the side of the bed and offer her like a cup of coffee and a pastry.
Are you cold?
Yeah, we're just going to put things within reach around her and just be like, hey.
And then Ruana's going to jump up on the bed and like nestle like at her feet.
And Kiri will touch the blankets, and Gwendolyn, you should feel that the blankets are suddenly a little bit warmer.
Oh. She doesn't say this out loud, but inwardly she slightly worries that she might
wet herself.
Just wet herself.
No. She's what?
Because it's suddenly warm around her. She's just like, wait a minute, or like Rowana's just for a flash moment, just makes her think, what was that? And then she realises.
It's so real when you're hungover.
Can I roll an insight check just to see if I see like the little frown line between her eyebrows?
She throws them off and checks, like, oh no.
Yeah, it's just like kind of shifts a bit. Yeah, go on inside.
Nope. Everything's fine. Nope. Everything's fine.
Okay. Yeah. So she with that kind of like real like she kind of shifts at feeling the warmth, but realizing that it was probably something nice. She kind of sits up and thank you. I've just got a really bad headache, so.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, like you know. We don't have to talk about what happened yesterday. Mm-mm. We don't have to talk about it right now. We don't have to talk about it at all. It's at the end of the day, Gwendolyn, like, if you want to talk, if you want to share about it, that's fine. But, you know, don't feel like you have to relive it or go into it too much. But just remember that, you know, when you're hungover, everything seems crap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can see how.
She just starts to feel a bit queasy.
Oh no.
I can see how that. I think maybe, can you move the coffee away?
Oh. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, move it away.
Actually.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
No, I really appreciate everything. Everyone. Yeah, I just don't feel. Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. So, I suppose we need to get ready to leave and do things, and
yeah, but if you need a little bit more time, you know, get some food, get some, like, you know, purchase on today, you know, how you feeling, stuff like that. I mean, you know, like,
we're in no rush.
Yeah,
no.
Also, if you have a question you'd like to ask, we bought flowers.
Oh, you have? Yes, you really have. Wow. That's a lot. I forgot how much you need.
Guy will find like a water jug or whatever in the room and just plonk his flowers in there. Separate from
the moment that you do, Gaius, they turn into butterflies. And just like the flower heads just burst into butterflies and flutter around the room until they disappear.
Oh, well, that was so nice. Where the heck did he get those from?
You had a really good night, didn't you?
I mean,
this was like a really successful, and yeah, you had a night, didn't you?
I mean, all I'm going to say, buddy, is that, you know, I've got an 18 to my dexterity, so, you know, hey, yeah.
Bards
will bard.
Did you go off with someone?
I did. Just insight check into. I just want to know, like, what was, from my recollection, what was Gwen's sort of vibe towards Ernest? Ernest, sorry, what was his name? Eustace.
Oh, you've already forgotten his name.
You don't even remember his name.
Wow. Bards will bard, guys. Come on.
Grace here, keeping you updated with all things No Small Roles related. First of all, a massive thank you to Ed Like Bread for writing us our first review of 2023. We are delighted to be your companion for long drives. If you too agree with Ed Like Bread that No Small Roles is storytelling at its best, We'd love it if you'd drop us a review on iTunes and Podchaser. If you've already reviewed us on iTunes, then why not leave us a review on Podchaser as well? You can also rate us 5 stars on Spotify. But of course, the best way to recommend us is by word of mouth. So if you have any loved ones you think would enjoy an adventure with the Abracalads, then please spread the word. You can get in touch with us through our social media at No Small Roles on Instagram and the platform formerly known as Twitter. You can search No Small Roles on Facebook. And if you'd like to chat with fellow crumpets and tea enthusiasts, why not head over to our Discord? You can find the link in our show notes. We are thrilled to have both parts 1 and 2 of A Familiar Problem, Rowana and Company up on our Patreon. This was my first time in the GM seat, and it's so cool to hear it all edited together with David's amazing music, and just so much fun to remember the absolute chaos that the boys decide to throw at me. So if you too would like to have a little listen to that, then head over to www.patreon.com/nosmallroles. That's all from me for now. Let's get you back to the hangover.
Yeah, what was, like, could I remember, could I recall, David, like, what was, like, the sort of, like, subtext of, like, the relationship and how Gwendolyn felt about that? I just don't want to, like...
Oh, I don't know, yeah.
I just don't want to shove in their face.
I think it was positive,
like,
wasn't it?
It was positive, but I didn't know if it was, like...
Yeah, yeah.
Of a, like, ooh, he's my prospect of, like, being good.
She was snogging everyone last night. Like, yeah. She was, but she did not snog him.
Yeah, fair play, fair play.
She was just real drunk.
Okay, Guy will just, retell the story of their night and engage from her reactions and stuff, like how much she goes into detail and how much not, in a way of being like, you know, making sure she's thinking about that rather than how she's feeling right now, and at the same time trying to see how much it can make Enkidu feel uncomfortable that I'm saying lots of very intimate things right now in a very like story-esque kind of way.
Yeah,
I think Gwendolyn like appreciates that Gaius is trying to take her out of her mind a bit with this like story. She's excited about the romance. She gets a bit uncomfortable when it gets a bit too graphic, even though she's trying to be like, oh yeah, like as if she is worldly wise, but like you're starting to see that maybe she doesn't know as much as she might let on.
Yeah, and he backs off of like the you know, the rippling muscles and the throbbing members, and he goes back into the similes of like twinkling eyes and all that jazz.
Rippling muscles. Whose muscles are rippling? And Kidu cocks his head at this, but we're like, which, who is he? Never mind.
Juna listens like it's very normal what he's describing. Mm. Oh, yeah. Oh, lovely.
She does allow herself, like, by the end of the story to get kind of a bit wrapped up in the romance of it. Mm. And
oh, yeah.
The passion of it, and especially realizing that the butterfly flowers. So I think Gaius definitely does his job of distracting her for that amount of the story. Oh, wow, that sounds like a lovely night, Gaius. Thank you for sharing.
Oh, well, there. It was a good night.
Yeah.
It was a good night.
Romantic.
Romantic indeed. Yeah. Someone herself was getting a little bit romantic last night.
There were lots of attractive people there. And
there were lots. There were lots.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So I just kissed a lot of people and
you did, and you know what,
with a lot of...
there was different techniques, there was different durations. I was very impressed. You were going through the whole like catalog of how can I apply my face to another person's face. It was impressive, gal.
Can Enkidu roll a performance to try to give off that he's not to give away that he's affected, that he's alarmed by any of this? I don't want to make her feel like I'm judging her or anything. I don't even like, you do what? Yeah, I don't want to do,
you know, I'm trying to like, in, like
hold
yeah.
that energy in and be like,
roll
oh,
to
damn.
Not show judge.
Yeah. Yeah, go on, make a roll.
It's not good. Oh, okay, it's fine. It's a 12.
A 12. There's a definite moment of like, you know, you go to lean against the windowsill and like you slip slightly. Just at, like, everyone looks over at you, but you know, okay, it's just a slip. It's nothing to do with how you're reacting to the situation at all.
She is probably like interested to see how Enkidu reacts to this knowledge just out of interest.
If you want to make an insight,
I'm going to make an insight check.
You have to beat.
Okay, so. I'm going to make an insight check. Oh. 10.
10.
Oh.
No, you know, he catches your attention, but no, he just slipped on leaning against the wall.
Okay, cool. And she kind of blushes a bit at kind of the memory, you know, like that kind of like, oh gosh, yeah, I really did kiss a lot of people last night. Starts to kind of dawn on her a little bit as well. So she kind of starting to brush herself off a little bit, trying to regain some composure.
Mm-hmm. Decorum.
Some decorum, yes.
Hey.
Well, we probably should move. There's something that all of us already needed to find out, and I think yesterday made me think even more that more Orcosian research is needed.
Juna shoots Enkidu a look.
Enkidu just looks back.
I need to know more about where I'm from and the culture. I realized just how ignorant I was, and it's part of our mission anyway, so maybe I would like to find out how we can do more Orcosian research. I don't know how to put that into a question that we can ask flowers.
Is it more about Orcosian culture that you want to know about, or specifically about Carhilda?
About Carhilda's.
So, like, is your focus about where that name sits in the past, or what that name will do through you for the future?
Or where we need to go to find out more?
I want to know, can a Carhilda only mean danger?
Is that what you want to ask?
Yes.
You know what to do, Gwen. So, yeah, she goes about, like, spreading these flowers out in a pattern.
Are you just doing this in the bedroom? Just as it's a fairly small bedroom, so you'd probably have to do it mostly on the bed.
Yeah, Gwendolyn will make the bed now that she's out of it.
The guy will like subtly be like trying to shove toast into her hand every now and then.
Gwendolyn is not eating. She's like had a polite bite, but she's not quite in the eating mood.
Fair enough. Guy Gage is there, but still, like every now and then, we'll offer a glass of water.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Juna sort of, like, does a lot of giving flowers to Gwen and sort of lets her make the pattern a little bit this time, as the question's kind of hers. Like, just, yeah, put it down where you think, Gwen. And then when it's all laid out, they'll sit in the middle and she'll say, it's definitely the question you want to ask. You ready?
Yes.
So then, yeah, we sit down in the middle of the, like, the pattern of these sort of, they're sort of dried flowers, aren't they?
Yeah.
And she takes a breath and asks, can a Carhilda only mean danger? I've just realised I don't think that's a question I can ask. It's about something that happens in the future. Or does that not matter?
If you want to reword it, I'll let you.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it really only gives a kind of like yes-no response.
Will the fact that you're a Carhilda only mean danger in the future?
Will me being a Carhilda bring danger to us all?
That's a really good question. That's the question I ask.
That's a really good question. As you are sort of gathered as close as you can on the bed together, surrounding these flowers, like these flowers surrounding you.
What is going to happen to the bed?
Yeah. Well, it's quite a confusing thing back that you watch, all of you, as some of these flowers, these sort of already dried flowers, just slowly crumble to dust, whereas others, sort of in the outer circle, start blossoming and blooming as if they have been planted in the ground and are still growing. So you get this odd sort of mix of half of them kind of fading away, half of them sort of growing and flourishing again, but then they do kind of shift back the other way. Some of those that have crumbled start to reform. And as you're kind of watching it, Juna, as you're sort of casting this spell, you're realizing it's where you're choosing to look that these things are happening.
Oh.
And in that, you kind of get the sense that possibly yes, but the choice kind of lies with the person looking. Or like, yeah, the understanding of it lies with... It's in the eye of the beholder, to use a... not like an actual beholder, guys. Not an actual beholder. In the room, don't worry, panic. But yeah, it's kind of...
Do I? Tell me if I don't know this detail, but do I get the impression it's the perception of the person looking at Cahilda, or that it is the way that Cahilda is looking at things, or do I not know?
The perception, as you're the one looking, and it's changing where you choose to look, it's whoever is looking at the Cahilda.
So it's like the flowers symbolize the Cahilda.
Yeah, and cool. So that it could be good, it could be bad, entirely based on your perspective of events.
What did you glean, Miss Epthorne?
I think Juna sort of interprets the idea of it being in the eyes of the beholder, so to speak. And to sort of, to explain what Bebedee's just explained to us, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And she sort of adds to Gwen, nothing is set and there is light and dark and we will get through this and we'll find out more.
And we'll do it together.
It's all perspective, really.
Yeah.
No, of course.
Thank you, Juna. Thank you, all of you. Sorry I've held us up.
There is no sorry today. Or ever.
Well, I mean, if you stub on my toe, I'm expecting a little sorry. But yeah, like in the grand scheme of things, Juna's right.
Yeah.
Juna's right. Yeah, there's no sorry for this. Like, Gwen, everything's a lesson, isn't it?
Yeah, so particularly for this kind of thing.
Yeah.
And we learned something.
Yeah.
That's something to take away from this. And we know from our friend here, and he points to Enkidu, and he's just like, and knowledge is power, right?
Oh, indeed. Knowledge is power. And the knowledge that you have, Deli, is that you still have the power to make your own choices, no matter what people say about you.
Yes. Yes. I will muse on it all. And hopefully as we continue our journey, I'll get some more answers somehow.
What would you like to do now, Deli?
I want to get out of this place.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Well, as we go, I managed to received the little map from some hunter-gatherer types. Self-drawn map of the Crownswood, which should be helpful.
Great.
Well done.
Nice. So so our plans to go into that wood then, yeah?
Yeah, if you want to get further east, this might be the way.
This is the way.
This is the way.
Woo, woo, woo.
We can avoid all the dangerous stuff, if you like.
What's all the dangerous stuff?
Oh, usual, magical weirdness, monsters. There's a surprising variety of fuckery to be found in these woods.
Oh, well, woods. Like, that's never come up against us before. Thinks back to the Shrouding Mound and the undead deer. It's like, yep, woods. They always set out great for us.
But, the usual stuff. Witches, monsters, moving trees.
No climbing trees, it says on the map.
Well, probably not to climb the trees because they probably move, right? But I don't know if you wish. I'm not sure how believable that is, but hey, these people were the hunter-gatherers of the area, so I'll take that to mean something, even if the trees don't move.
Absolutely. Local tips, very useful.
Okay.
No climbing trees. Always keep an eye on the nearest road. So yeah, I'll take that as a warning.
Don't follow the little lights.
Don't follow the lights.
Blueberries good, red berries bad.
We can also resupply in there if you wish.
What does it say here? Rabbits good to hunt, but don't carry too many to avoid scavengers. Yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
A place called the Woodstop. That could be a good place to get information of things going on. Lots of people traveling through.
Yeah, yeah. Agreed.
And the special brew apparently tastes better than it smells.
Wibbs. Who's Wib?
Oh, Wib is... Well, it's kind of like a family name. It's passed on. There's always a Wib who runs the Woodstop.
So we want to take this road through the woods to get to the Woodstop, which is halfway through it, and then we keep going after that.
Well, if we're heading to the Fallosian Hills, we want to go east into the Crownswood. We can stop off at the Woodstop, head north, and then take the eastern path at the Fork.
Sounds like a plan.
Let's do it.
Whilst everyone is getting ready to go, Juna's going to take 10 minutes just... on her own, to try and cast Scry on Gwen's mum.
Lego.
Fun. So, as you've not met her, but you know of her.
Are you telling Gwen?
Not telling Gwen at this point, nope.
Because Gwen has something, like a piece of jewellery that is from her mum, so that might help. But Juna would know that about this bracelet, like, that she always wears, so.
May I borrow this?
My bracelet from my mother.
Yeah, if you don't mind.
I guess not. Sure, take it. Gwendolyn just hands it over and carries on busying herself with getting ready.
And Juna, like, gives her a hug. I think like, she's a bit like, if Gwen asks questions, I'll tell her, like, it's not like a secret, but...
I think, yeah, Gwendolyn's just
quite
not...
quite a lot.
Yeah.
And it's very unlikely to work, so... So, yeah.
So, yeah, having a possession, but not knowing her, like, how does that affect the saving throw?
Oh, let's see. The target must make a wisdom saving throw, which is modified by how well you know them and the sort of physical connection. So secondhand, you have heard of the target, they get a +5.
Okay.
But as I have a possession or garment, it's also -4. So I guess it's...
+1.
+1, yeah.
Okay.
So it's +1 to your save.
Yep. And the spell save DC is
17.
Oh, I rolled a 10.
Whoa.
So yeah, as everyone's packing up around you, sort of tidying the room a little bit, checking under the bed, making sure that you've actually got all of your bags and things, Junie, you just sort of like pop yourself down in the corner on a little chair in the corner. How are you conjuring the scrying orb this time? Like, is it that same sort of cinema feel, or are you trying out something different?
No, I think cinema feel feels right.
Nice.
Yeah.
So as you kind of settle back in, and like this image slowly appears in front of you, like it is blurry and then it becomes quite bright for a moment, and then sort of focuses in on an Orcosian woman with a very similar face to Gwendolyn, except she's got a much sterner jawline, and white hair that's sort of plaited back on both sides of her head, so it's almost giving her a bit of a mohawk kind of a look.
Uh-huh.
But all tied back. She's dressed quite officially, and moving through an like ornate marble colonnade. She looks uncomfortable. She looks out of place with her surroundings in a kind of almost like official soldiery type uniform.
Uh-huh.
And as she sort of moves through this sort of like, yeah, kind of white marble, there's some sort of pinkish lines patterned into it. You do notice on the floor there are a number of what you recognize as royal sigils and symbols of Drevane.
Oh.
And in fact, she's moving past this colonnade is out. There's some gardens, sort of quite manicured gardens, beside her, and she seems to be following a couple of people. Another Orcosian woman, dressed with a short cape over one shoulder, and a human man in a purple suit with white trim. And as they're sort of moving down some steps, she also passes a number of gold-cloaked guards who are sort of dotted around but aren't really paying... They're sort of paying them attention but trying to not look as if they're paying too much attention. And this sort of... She follows these two people sort of about 5-6 steps behind, giving them space to talk so she's not listening in, but clearly on hand... to like as a show of strength, like if this Orcosian in front of her needs help, she's there for them.
Uh-huh.
And she walks into the garden following these two, and as sort of the hedges get built up around them, there are some beautiful topiary going on. There is a soft voice that causes Juna's sort of hackles to rise suddenly.
Oh God!
As you just hear someone say, "Sigrid." And she turns, confused, and in the bushes, sort of hidden away in amongst the flowers, she sees a short human man, sort of blondish hair, goggles on top of his head.
What?
And a mechanical brace around his neck.
What the heck?
And you see his fingers sort of flicker a little bit, and the scrying connection is gone.
What?
Got it.
Oh. What?
What is my mom?
What is happening?
Oh my God!
What is happening? He knew her name and everything. No way.
No, he didn't know her name. She did.
Possessing him still. What is happening?
God.
Oh.
And just
just be clear, she called her
Sigrid.
Sigrid, and we knew that. We knew her name was Sigrid, right?
Don't think so.
No.
Okay, so your mum's name is Sigrid.
Yeah. I Gwendolyn knows that. Hmm. But I'm assuming Juno would know that.
Yeah, I'm assuming Juno would know her name. Like what was known in the house. Yeah. Baby David. That was so juicy I could cry.
So many questions.
With like royal banners as well, right?
Yeah.
Royal sigils, yeah.
Royal sigils, gold cloaks, so Mervi.
Oh, shit.
Oh, gold cloaks is Mervi.
Does Juno share this with us?
Oh, sorry, yeah.
Because at the moment we have no idea she was doing this in secret.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So yeah, the connect. I think Juno just sort of sits there and is like.
Juno, are you okay?
Mr. Thorne, you're right.
Yes. I know something about your mum. Gwen, are you ready to hear it? It's a lot.
I'm willing to know anything.
And then Juno just like doesn't even skip a beat. I saw your mom and describes what she looks like and describes where she is. And yeah, I think like she didn't get that the gold cloaks, for example, were anything to do with Mervi. So she's just literally describing what Baby David has just said. And then is like, and then at the end, there was this voice that said Sigrid and it was Orin. And then just sort of goes back to that again. It was so vivid.
Your mother's in the Crown City.
Is she?
With Orin and Petra.
I was a gold cloak, so yeah.
You were a gold cloak?
Well, yeah.
Oh.
So you know that place. You know exactly where my mother is.
She's in Mervi. Would I know specifically where she is given from Juno's description?
With the description, yeah, you can picture the exact garden probably that they're walking along.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I knew that place pretty well.
Yeah, you've been one of those people standing on guard, not doing anything for a full day.
Yep.
A number of times.
Yeah, it's all coming flooding back.
Oh, my gosh.
Your mum's in a mission to the palace?
It certainly sounds that way.
Yeah.
Something diplomatic, maybe, over the border conflict.
It's what it felt like, yes.
Oh. I bet you looked great in gold. Sorry, side point. So guys, there's on the map here, it says that there's a fork in the road, and we can go the way that we're going towards the gosh, I'm gonna try and not say what I want to say. It's Felocian Hills.
Oh my gosh.
Did I get inspiration for that, David?
Felocian Hills.
We could go to Felocian Hills, or we could go to Mervi, because there's the fork that one goes to the hills and one goes to, it says here, best road to Mervi.
Yeah, find it out is the best.
What our friend Orin and Petra and your mom is doing there.
We don't know how long my mother will be there.
Enkidu, you're keen to go there anyway, aren't you?
Not at the moment.
All right.
When I was on my own yesterday, I started feeling this pull. I've always felt it since I've been, you know, back. But it's particularly strong now. Especially as we started seeing maps and signs for the city, it's getting stronger. I have to be honest, Miss Septon, I'm feeling the first bit of real fear I've felt for a long time. I don't know what's going to happen to me as soon as I set foot in that city.
Oh, Enkidu.
Is it you're feeling the draw to the city and you're finding it harder to resist?
Well, I mean, I still feel like I can do what I want and I have control, but maybe I'm imagining it, or because I don't feel ready. There are so many answers I don't know yet. Am I going to lose control when I get there? Is whatever Erida's got planned just going to start as soon as I get to the city? I just don't know.
I think that's fair, Enkidu.
I do want to go to Mervi while my mother's still in the country. probably entirely selfishly, but if she's on a diplomatic visit, then she might not be here long.
Have we tried to send to Auron and Petri yet?
We did once when we got to Kissing Beck.
Could we maybe ask them what's the crack?
Definitely.
We know you're in Mirvai. We know you're with Sigrid. It's important to us to know how long she'll be in town for.
Yeah. Is that guy bringing that up? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, that would be Guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's do it. We want to know how long Petorin? Orintra is in Mirvai.
Petrin.
Petrin. And how long Sigrid is also going to be there. Is it those are the things we need to know?
Yeah, yes, I think so. Yeah.
Okay. Give me 1 second.
Gwendolyn is has kind of taken back her bracelet and is sitting down and rebuckling it whilst kind of taking in the new information.
Okay. I think June is gonna put this to the group. I've got 4 more words left. Seen you in Mirvai with Sigrid. Do you know her? How long are you there? How long will she be there? Sound good?
Mm-hmm.
Do we want to drop that her daughter is asking?
Not to Petra, I don't think.
Maybe how's Orin?
Oh, yeah. Good point.
Yeah. Yeah, Juno would definitely say that. How's Orin?
And
how are you? I'm going to ask how are you to Petra because I think that might sweeten her up.
Good idea.
But abbreviate it with the little the apostrophe for contraction because how are you is 3. So you want how are you? You know what I mean?
How are you? No, that maxes me out.
Oh, sweet.
But I'll definitely do it with that vibe.
Yeah.
Okay. So sending.
Boop, boop, boop.
No, I'll do how are you?
Yeah,
Petra?
Yeah.
I can add Petra in. Yep. Yeah. How's Orin? Seen you in Mirvai with Sigrid. Do you know her? How long are you there? How long will she be there?
Wonderful.
Send.
Every time you send, is there a little sound effect in your head that just goes whoosh? Or what?
I think it's a sort of diddle-diddle-diddle.
I think you might have made that noise once before.
Oh, really?
A while ago, yeah. Or it was for something else. But I remember it.
It's a glittery sound.
Yeah.
So quite quickly, you get back very strongly the feeling of Petra, not Orin.
Mm-hmm.
But she's like, Juna, is that your scrying orb? Yes. Known. I'll be here shortly. Sigrid for at least a month. Hopefully she'll go north. We're all good.
Wow, she is, she packs it in, didn't she?
Yes, known. What was that in reply to?
As in,
she knows Sigrid.
Ah, okay.
Mm.
Here shortly.
As in, they are going to be there for a short period of time. And,
Sigrid.
And
then heading north.
He's going to be there for a month.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, David, do we know, in terms of travel-wise, how long it would take us to get to the hills?
The hills. I'll say from Enkidu's chat with the hunters, on horseback, you are 3 days' ride to Woodstock.
Okay. Wow.
It's basically 1 day to the edge of the wood, mm-hmm. At the edge of the Crown's Wood, and then 2 days because of the change in terrain and trying to navigate through trees mm-hmm. to get to Woodstock. Then if you're going through the safest route around the Felosian Hills, then that's another couple of days to sort of get out of the forest and then basically a whole week to get to the other side of the Felosian Hills. Mm. However, if you're trying to get into the center of the Felosian Hills, Hasty Pass, which is sort of the northern road route out and through the hills, whilst it is still safe, that's going to take you at least a week's ride through the forest. So 1 day to get there and then a week's ride through the forest.
Jeez.
Obviously, there is a very large space on the map that says not safe, which... probably a quicker way, the quickest way to the hills, but it's not safe. Which is why they've marked it not safe.
Very much not safe. Do we need to know anything else?
We can fly, right?
I mean, yeah, we can.
We can fly.
For how long?
10 minutes at a time.
No.
I'm pretty much Twice a day.
Twice a day for me as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I could do three times a day if we needed to, but it's a bit pointless.
We've got horses though. No, we don't have horses.
Yeah.
We've paid for them.
Oh yeah, we've got horses. Yeah.
Unless we came back from it's again leaving the horses somewhere. Or,
no, but I think in the long run, having the horses.
Not really worth it.
Yeah, it would be better to have the horses, I guess.
It's better for you to have your spell slots for potential dangers. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, either way, we're going via this Woodstock place, right? So shall we get on the road and mull it over and formulate a plan?
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah, I think we need time to think.
We definitely need time to think. You're right, Enkidu. I'm glad Orin's okay.
Same.
As well.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm worrying about that guy.
Yeah.
Why couldn't Petra tell us what she was up to?
I was thinking about answering her and saying, yes, it was my scrying orb. And saying, what are you up to? She might not reply. I mean, it's a lot of magic before the end of breakfast, but I think let's just lean into it, shall we?
It's up to you, Miss Epthorn. I mean, Orin is safe. She has kept her word so far.
But I do worry that she's putting him in danger. Like, you know, I do believe her when she says that she'll try and make sure, you know, he will come back to us. You know, I think that her intention is for that. But, like, the reason she didn't tell us maybe is because she's putting him in harm's way. It's the lack of telling us where and what that's upsetting me. So maybe, you know,
did we
ask
ask?
I guess.
I don't think we asked.
We didn't ask. No, but we can.
Mm. I guess. It's just that she didn't tell us.
Well, we didn't ask.
Yeah, but she took a friend of ours. It's like the least you could do.
Oh, asked in the first place. I thought you were meaning about that interaction just now.
Oh, no. But like, ask her. Ask her, Juna. And remind her what happens if anything happens to the little guy.
Yeah, I'll say, yes, it was my scrying orb, and now we can keep an eye on our Orin. We're a bit worried about him, and we're wondering what you're up to.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Anything else?
No.
And send.
Bring.
Cool. So, yeah, the reply you get, you kind of get the impression that she's in the middle of a conversation and is ever so slightly distracted. But you do get yes, sorry, gathering allies, but keeping Goggle Boy safe.
Oh.
Trying to work fast, but we'll update you if there's issues.
Fuck, man, Petra's a fucking rebel. Gathering allies.
Somebody needs to.
I know.
Yeah, to be fair.
She's got the connections.
She does.
To make
She's
things happen.
Potentially our most powerful ally that we've ever had.
Yeah. To be fair as well, the only guy we can call upon is... can we even call upon him? Is the...
Clayne?
No. Is the guy who's got a claim to the throne.
Oh, Tymon.
Tymon Prevus.
Because he kind of does owe us.
Saved his life.
Yeah.
That's true.
Gwendolyn's other mum is there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that was interesting. Oh. Mother Ball.
Mother Ball.
And as you all make your way out, discussing just exactly how Gasula and Sigrid would meet, that's where we're going to end the episode.
David, you're so good.
Yeah, that was great.
That was
tasty.
Yes. That was great.
It was so tasty.
That was spicy.
Good. Times.
Woo!
Yeah.
Ooh.
It's a lot of it, though. It's good.
There's a lot of stuff going on there.
Yeah.
You have been listening to David Knight as your Dungeon Master, Ben Galpin as Orin, Chris Watts as Gaius, Daryl Bailey as Enkidu, Grace Kelly Miller as Gwendolyn, and Vicky Gaskin as Juna. Original music by David Knight. Please tell your friends, subscribe, and follow us on all the social media. Thank you for listening to No Small Roles. Anon for now.
Anan!
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.